High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
The other thing we do need to talk about, because that does definitely reflect lack of education, is the 30% pass rate. How is that serving South Africa? Musi Mamani is somebody who is looking to push to raise that. Musi, good morning. If I can ask you to maybe preclude Afrikaans from that. My daughter's going into matric, and I think that I don't mind if she can understand 30% of an Afrikaans circus. I think we'll be fine.
Goeiemôre
to you. How are you?
Happy New Year, Hart, and I wish all South Africans a great blessed year, and may
Absolutely.
God Amen. Be with us in this year.
Amen. So Amen. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. So, of course, the founder of the One Movement of South Africa, education is very much your focus and your drive. Tell us about how did we ever get to 30% as a pass rate?
Well, how would I... Part of the challenge of the Department of Education was that they literally, in a world where more than half the students drop out before they get to matric, we're discovering very quickly that if young people cannot pass at matric, you create a congestion where there's no exit point. And so they designed the system where for certain, the pass criteria was such that for certain subjects, you could pass at 30%. So your combination of subjects can have a 30% pass in certain subjects. And I'm finding that unacceptable because all it's simply doing is that it is producing an education system that is unequal because, frankly, children who are writing ODE senior certificates are literally passing at a higher grade than that. Secondly, ex-Model C students or high-fee-paying schools invest more in education to end up in a space where kids actually pass at higher levels. But actually, for kids who come from low-fee-paying schools, rural dynamics, end up in a scenario where ultimately the threshold just becomes 50%, and that's all they seek to achieve. You will incentivize teachers to work less. And if you know anything about business or anything really about organizational development, you do get what you measure. And if you measure at 50%, you get 50%.
And the interesting thing is as well is something that you're alluding to is that once again, those who are impoverished or perhaps less able to access the better schools from a financial perspective or any other perspective are once again prejudiced, almost locking them in to the cycle that they've been born into.
Absolutely. You then ultimately don't address any historical injustices. But worse than that is that in the next couple of days, we'll have the matric results coming out. And the net effect of that is that for kids who only 12% of children in this country end up at university, you then have to ask the question, what happens to the rest of those who sat for senior certificates, passed at a less than bachelor's degree? What is their expectation if their skill base is so low? To me, I think it's completely unacceptable that we maintain this 50% pass rate. Not only does it create bad teaching, it ultimately renders our kids unemployable, let alone unemployed.
Of course, the concern is, and we're seeing it almost in every other aspect of South African life, these juxtapositions where we've got, from a private medical care perspective, we world leaders, but our national health system is more or less a disaster. We see the same thing with education, where private schools are able to feed universities around the world because of their product and because of the standard of education, but on another level, the kids are not being equipped for anything. So all that's happening, I guess, is that chasm is increasing on a daily on a yearly basis.
Undeniably. And, you know, I studied under Bantu education in the 80s, well, as they're beginning to reform it. Mm. And you kind of think to yourself, if there was one thing that apartheid bequeathed to us, is an unequal education system. Mm. And the department is correct. They had 19 departments of education so as to create the differentiation. You would have sworn that if there was one thing the government would say, we can get many things wrong, but this we cannot get wrong, would be education. It would have to force us to say, at least for one thing, let the circumstances of your birth not determine the educational outcomes that you get. And to this effect, Howard, I make very simple and basic, suggestions. You know, the fairness of it is that up the pass rate, if you are going to use teacher assistants, target them at schools that desperately need them so that there's better attention given to students. Furthermore, build the appropriate infrastructure, especially in rural communities, and ultimately offer young people a choice through charter schools, where if you say, I live in a community that cannot produce for me a good school, but there is a good school, offer them a voucher system so that you can create a partnership in the charter school so that those children can be able to improve. Because my mother did not have a matric. If I didn't get an education system, force myself to study and compete, I don't think I'd be able to be speaking to you today. So it is a no-brainer to say if you invest in the education of kids, especially even at early childhood development, you can really invest in the future of your country.
So why do you think we're in this situation? Because if given the history, given the suffering under the Bantu education system, where it was designed to keep people ignorant and therefore oppressed, surely this, as you've said, would have been a no-brainer or the first step forward, and yet it wasn't. Why do you think that is the case, or was the case?
I think the department prioritized access ahead of quality. And then you had a unionized environment that then sought to protect the inherited teachers that were in that space. And so what you end up doing is really kowtowing to teachers, to teacher unions, to say to yourself, all we want for our kids is for them to be able to exercise education, and then fail dismally at improving quality outcomes. The second challenge is that if you have a government that cannot articulate a future for the country, what that government ends up doing is that it can't say to all South Africans that, in fact, this are the skills we are going to need for the future, because then you will invest into those skills. If you think your future economic opportunities for this country are going to be in technology, then I would urge that you invest in math and science and robotics as key competencies for students to learn now, so that the ecosystem produces that. So at this point in time, it is clear that to use a famous proverb, without vision, people in fact do perish.
What about the almost conspiracy theory that it's easier to subjugate uneducated people? I mean, we knew that it wasn't a conspiracy during apartheid. That was the policy. But do you think that there was something nefarious in the ANC's approach to education, or was it just incompetence and lack of vision?
I think that sometimes I would wish that to be such a calculated exercise.
Yeah,
then at least I could give the ANC some credit.
Absolutely, because they could follow through with something.
You know, I know that the government simply hasn't got the competence to be able to execute against it. Because if you look across areas of delivery for government, you aggregate them, you'll discover most of them are mediocre: healthcare, education, housing, and so forth and so forth. So it's got to me. I think that what we need to figure out as a country is how do we ensure that when we look at the system of education and we look at the system of government, we then say, how do we ask people to bring about the change that they need? Because what is true is that if you go to any township on any weekend or any weekday, you'll see taxis ferrying kids in search of a better education. So for
Amazing.
Citizens,
You're
even
right.
the poorest citizens, recognize the fact that the education system is failing them.
And what's so interesting, and you clearly are one of those cases, when you speak to South Africans, black South Africans, who have been subject to the old system and whose parents weren't able to access a reasonable education, but who pushed and sacrificed for their kids. You know, when you look at those success stories in South Africa, that tells you everything, because that is where everything changes. As you said, your success and your ability to change this country is because of the push, probably by your mom, to get you a decent education.
Undeniably, and for me, that is what we've got to do is link the value of education. You can say much about parents who grew up under apartheid. I suppose because for many of them, they were denied education, they added value to it.
Yeah.
And secondly, it became common cause that if you are at least educated in some way or another, your prospects of finding work are higher. As we've been running this petition for ending the 30%, I've heard people say, well, what difference does it make anyways? You'll have graduates sitting at home.
Mm.
I think that that's an ignorant argument, because at the end of the day, unemployment amongst graduates is lower than unemployment among people who simply don't have an education.
Absolutely.
So I think that if we don't educate our kids enough, we're setting ourselves for an economy that all we can all end up doing is an industrial economy. We'll never transition into further economic strata.
100%.
So my call for the end of the 30% is really a reform of the education system and the economic system in this country.
Absolutely. I do need to end the interview. We are out of time, but I do need to know this. Is it being taken seriously? Do you think that there's a chance that you can be successful in moving the pass rate, the pass mark rather, from 30% to 50%?
We certainly are working hard on it, and the department is having to respond. The sad bit is that their response is to congratulate themselves on yesterday, rather than worrying about tomorrow.
Yeah, it's always a problem. Always a problem. Musi Mamani, founder of the One Movement of South Africa, doing his best to improve the lives of South Africa.